Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Rivier Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am so very excited to be the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And born and raised in Riviera Beach, I'm excited to be hosting this podcast with Mr. Dan Calloway. And I'm also continually convinced that after reading the books, Egg of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, that we're all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast Hashtag Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Every week, I enjoy reading something and sharing something from Riviera Beach Moments by Deborah Hall McCollum. And today, we're going to share just a few moments about the life of Reverend Leslie W. Charlow, pastor, pioneer. Ms. Charlow is the founder of Faith Holy Temple Evangelist Church, Inc. It was founded in 1959. The church began as a storefront on Tamarind Avenue in West Palm Beach. She sold fish and fries to raise money for a building fund. Pastor Charlow was one of the first black sales clerks on Clematis Street in West Palm Beach. She wore the most beautiful clothes and had a glamorous job. She gave up her job and began to work as a domestic. That way, there was more money for her to save to build her church. A donation from a wealthy employer was the start of her church building in Riviera Beach. She drew the design of her church on an old brown bag with a borrowed crayon. The children at Roosevelt High School took her drawing and made a scale design of her church in their wood shop class. Pastor Charlow and the church members themselves on a lot on 33rd Street in Riviera Beach built the church in 1963 that Pastor Charlow paid $400 for. Pastor Charlow's home was also on 33rd Street. Pastor Charlow cared about the community. She was a civil rights activist and led marches to stop drugs and crime. The vision of her church was to get children off the streets, bring people in from the back alleys, and to help the lost and hungry. Pastor Charlow said when she started her church in the early 1960s, men did not want to come. Men did not want a woman in a high place standing over them. In some churches, women were not allowed in the pulpit. It was unusual for a church to have a female pastor back then, even more unusual for a woman to build a building herself. She was met with resistance, however. She had a vision and built her church anyway. Her motto was, do for yourself all you can do, then ask God for the rest. At the 10th anniversary celebration of Faith Holy Temple Evangelist Church in Riviera Beach, Pastor Charlow's cousin was there standing beside her to congratulate her. He just happened to be the first black player in the Major League Baseball, Jackie Robinson. Pastor Charlow was called home to be with the Lord on January 17, 2012, at the age of 92. And with that was the Riviera Beach Moments by Deborah Hall McCollum. And so it gives me great pleasure to, again, welcome my co-host to the podcast, Mr. Dan Calloway. How are you today, sir?
Just wonderful. And this is a pleasure. You know, I said last week that every time you open a show, you give a historic event. And I guess at 84, pretty soon I'll be 85, I'm aware of 99% of those. And one of the people that you talked about today, Pastor Charlow, her husband was my favorite teacher and dean at Roosevelt, Mr. Aaron G. Shallow, wonderful man. And she was very close to me after she built a church when she came to Riviera. And she remembered that when I was in the ninth grade, she brought her cousin, Jackie Robinson, to speak at Roosevelt. And being a baseball player and signed to go into the major league with the Pirates, she had me to stand up in her pulpit when no other men would be there and bring greetings. And everything she endured, mostly in Riviera, she called me to be a part. She marched up and down the street. But her tenacity to do her job and represent God Almighty was just tremendous. I picked up and learned a lot of stick-to-itness and to not let the naysayers put doubt in my mind when you make up your mind knowing you're doing something for God's children. And I just thank you for you bringing up somebody like Mrs. Shallow. Now, getting into the program, this Sunday is very important. At least all of us Sundays are more important. We're in December, the second Sunday, and we're getting ready for Thursday to feed 300 senior citizens at Wells Recreation Center right on Blue Heron at 12 o'clock. And, of course, I'll get more into that in a minute. But the most important thing I need to tell everybody who may be listening in, that only reason why Artie Williams, one of our cohorts and a member of the Mothers Against Murders Association, one of the founders, and, of course, a member ever since he was 8 years of age, a part of the Youth Recreation Association, they are meeting at 2 o'clock with the press, national news, about a shooting in the last couple of weeks where a police officer killed someone down in West Palm Beach. And, of course, if you understand about MAMA, M-A-M-A, Mothers Against Murders, and I'm hoping that Bobby Powell and the guys up in Tallahassee can work with the people up in Washington to finally make MAMA just like MAD, which is Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. It was five women about 22 years ago went before Congress and got that right on the book, and they get a lot of, not critics so much, but backing, and we need all the backing in the world if we're going to help try to shave some of this in crime right now, because every day it seemed like somebody in Riviera, West Palm Beach, Lake Worth, Belgrade, Delray and Boynton or something like that. Somebody's killing somebody. We have to stop that. Now, while we are talking about that, here's the game plan for the new year coming up. As simple as that. One of the things, and you can blame Dan Calloway, who was the athletic director for the last 59 years of the Youth Recreation Association, the other four members of that charter back in 64, they are dead, the late Herman McCray, Don Wilson, Clark, Kenneth Martin, and Johnny Carlisle. It was five of us, and I'm the only one God kept to continue to do what we're supposed to do and what we put together to do. And I tell you this here, I'll be dead and gone, but the Youth Recreation will still be flourishing, because right now, coming up in January, we'll put two new things on the book. We're going to emphasize the senior citizen more and utilize their ability. I think that when we get old, everybody just throws us to the curb and say, well, they're just old. Well, everybody's going to get old. But actually, old means you should have a lot of wisdom. Jesus took the old man because he knew the road, and he took the young man because he could carry the load. So he put both of them together, and that's a good team. What we're going to be doing, and it's starting this Thursday coming, that's why we got people from South Bay, Belgrade, and Pahokee coming over to be our guests. We have 10 coming from St. Lucie County, up in near Fort Pierce. and some out of Boynton. We're going to have a nice luncheon. Of course, I'll tell you at the end about our guest speaker, who's going to be doing that. One of the things we're going to ask the senior citizen to do, I know they're afraid, they hide behind the windows because so many people getting shot in the schools, in the some drug stores, grocery stores, on the street corner, everything like that. But you can't be afraid. That's one thing we have to teach everybody. Stop the fear. See, you need to pray more that God put a shield. It did it. He put a fence around Job and kept the devil away from him. So if he could protect Job, he definitely can protect us. Now, why am I saying that? Because it's a lot of senior citizens. They don't have anything to do during the week. I'm a senior citizen. I just happen to be involved. What we need the senior citizen to do, while they're sitting in the chair looking out the window behind the curtain, when you see something, say something. Not to the person who is perpetrating the crime. I need you to make a phone call. A lot of people don't want to call direct to the sheriff's office or West Palm Beach police or Riviera police or Boynton police or whatever. You don't have to do that. Therefore, you can call anyone that you know a part of the Youth Recreation and the Ministerial Alliance, anyone, and they can contact me. I'll be your voice with the guys in the Youth Recreation. I'll be your voice. I'll be the one will go and tell the law, we got to do this. Go there and protect the people and stop the person who's perpetrating the crime. Now, why I chose myself. Everybody know I retired from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, set up all kind of programs, the Police Athletic League, the Community Relation Unit, and Community Relation Unit is maybe the most important thing in law enforcement. Now, why am I saying that? Because 90% of a lawman's job is to be community relations. Make friends with the community. Get to know them. Let them get to know you. And when you have a problem, call them. And when you're not having a problem, go and talk to them and just talk to them in general. They're human. They're like everybody else got a job. And they got to understand that if you get friendly and do things and volunteer in our community, somebody going to tell you something is going wrong and what happened, they can give you the news. Because they got, once they get to know you. So one of the things that we're going to be sharing Thursday, we want a commitment. Just say we got the 300 people. What if 300 people go and tell 10 people each that we got to do, if you see something, say something, we got to do more. We owe a moral obligation. We are obligated to help the law. That's why we got the PAL, which stands for the Police Athletic League, that's dealing with the kids, learning to be under the auspices of a law enforcement personnel. And the parents come out there and work, just like you do in Little League. It's a teamwork. I think that the law think they can get it done by themselves. I think that John Q. Public think that it's all the law responsibility. That's a job. They need help and we need help. As long as we combine our efforts to work together, we can stop this. Every day in the paper, somebody's out of school all over the country, somebody running into someone, somebody's shooting someone, just killing. This is something we must work on. Everybody got to throw in a modicum of time and respect to help the law, and the law got to respect the citizen. We got to do that. Now, over a month ago, Artie and I had a meeting with the city manager. Jonathan said these words. He will give us the latitude and whatever help we need to galvanize the citizens of Riviera, but I owe it to the county. That's why we got Belgrade, South Bay, and Cahokia coming over. I can never forget about the other cities because I was in law enforcement. And then when I was coaching and running recreation and doing that, we traveled all over the city and all over the state and all over the country. Because if we could clean up everything in Riviera and no law, we run all the bad people out of here and go to West Palm Beach, go to Lake Park, go to Palm Beach Gardens. That means we ran the problem to someone else. We don't want to run the problem away from Riviera. We want to clean up the problem. We don't want West Palm Beach problem to overflow into Lake Worth. We need it to be cleaned up. That's why it's a teamwork. It's like any team, everybody pulling for one goal. And I give you a parable. If we were having a football team, and we call a play to run to the right, and you give it the ball, the quarterback give the ball off to a halfback to run to the right. But what if that run to the left and nobody blocking for him? Always remember, you've got to stay on time with the play. The play is the run to the right. So what are we talking about? We're using that as an example with the law enforcement. If somebody sees someone commit a crime, rob something, attempt to rape something, pick up a little kid or something, you got to be able to do one or two things. What color is the car? What direction? And when? You don't want to take up a lot of time and a lot of things because you can't remember everything. Law enforcement personnel are trained to see a quick view of something, and they got that picture in their mind. We were trained that when we were going through the academy and learned that. But what we're going to do is have some workshops. One of the workshops is going to be about how to visualize, close your eyes, and recapitulate the situation. That's one of the things we're going to do. And we're going to do that for the seniors, but we're going to try to get help. Not only from I'm telling you about what I need from the seniors, but what I need from the guys. I will be meeting Tuesday morning with Martin Fence Company, and they are trying to hire workers at $20 an hour. Well, everybody been fighting to get the starting salary at $15 an hour. Most time they haven't gotten there, but this company is going to hire people and train them and give them $20 an hour. Now, why is that important? That's because I need all those young men and young women who just finished school. Some didn't get a chance to go off to a trade school or college. If we need to send them back to a trade school, we'll do that. But they will train them and start them off at $20 an hour. And as many people we can get off the street corner or behind closed doors with a handout. You want a hand up. You don't need a handout. I need you to get a job where you can get some kind of retirement. When you get 75 years older, you will be able to retire and sit in a rocking chair and have some kind of income coming. Now, why am I jumping into that? Because crime is bred when people don't have a regular job and they're trying to hustle on the street because you're committing a crime. If you're out there stealing, you selling drugs and doing dumb things, only two things going to happen. In the jail you're going to go or in the graveyard. That's why we have all this shooting and running with the cars and running here, and the police got to shoot at you. And then you get killed, and everybody's saying the police killed them. Well, if you wasn't committing the crime, number one, and if you didn't run, number two, nobody have no business with a fleeing felon shooting anybody. I'm telling you, we got to be self-supported. We're going to put a lot of emphasis at 23, we're going to put a lot of emphasis on the seniors and on especially 25 to 42. We're going to do that. We're going to run all kind of clinics, all kind of workshops. We got all kind of people set up to train you in different things. And only thing we ask you to do is to have what we call stick-to-itness. Now, what is stick-to-itness? Stick-to-itness is something that you start and you say, well, I don't care how tough it gets, how aggravating it be, and how miserable you feel, you will finish the course. We had a thing in law enforcement, number one, and in coaching, especially in coaching and playing and training people. You never quit. They say quitters never win, and winners never quit. So I need you to make up your mind, talk to the seniors, tell the dropouts, the 19, the 20-year-olds, the 17, 18-year-olds. We'll figure out a way to get you back into some trade school. And then the ones who want to go to a 2 or 4-year school, we'll figure out that and help you out. I'm setting up another committee that we're going to have about 5 committees with 5 on them. And we're going to be working hard for scholarships. We're going to work hard about sending people to trade school and business to let them intern there and learn OJT. Now, what is OJT? On-the-job training. That's what OJT stands for, on-the-job training. More people we get to work, the less they'll have a chance to go out there and start hustling behind closed doors. In the wee hours of the morning, they're out there trying to sell their wares and trying to skip and hop and be a wealthy person. Because when you make fast money on the street behind closed doors, breaking the law, one day the long arm of the law will catch up on you. You either go to the graveyard, which is the last place you want to go, being killed, or going to jail. That's the second place you don't want to go. So I think we're going to have more programs. I've talked to Doug Lawson. He want to have a workshop. He's one of the elected officials, and he's going to put a lot of emphasis on under the auspices of the city manager. He's on vacation. His wife just had a baby, and he'll be back in the middle of January. We will implement a new program. We already going to be working with the reentry program and all the people who have gone off and been incarcerated. We're not going to let them sit out here and nobody won't hire them. We're going to make sure they get a job because we don't want them to go back and do whatever they were doing to go to jail. And we're going to try to help keep them out of jail by giving them carte blanche on freedom to go and start over new, and nobody hold that against them. See, because nobody in this world will get out of this world without sinning. And if God can forgive us all the many times a day, we ought to forgive a person 1 or 2 times a day. So we're going to do that. So those are the things like that. The 2 most important things that we're going to do is put a lot of emphasis on the senior citizens. And work with especially that 25 to 42. And we hope that the 17 and 18 will never be, when they get to be 25, in the position that those 25-year-olds is what we're trying to get off the street and get involved. Now, you're saying old man with a lot of white hair, and if you live to be 84, when you're 85 years of age, you're going to have the same thing I have, bad health and a lot of white hair. But there's nothing wrong with my mind. I want everybody to understand that, and people talk about that all the time. How do you remember this and how you remember that, and you're doing the same thing you've been doing 50 years? Well, the main thing about it is I was put on this earth to do that, and I don't want to shortchange myself because going back to Mrs. Shallow, who I mentioned at the very beginning as the our illustrious leader, and McNeil talked about her. One of the things that Mr. Aaron G. Shallow taught me, and I told you he was one of my favorite teachers. He was a biology teacher. He taught me and a lot of other people, quitters never quit, quitters never win, and winners never quit.
We can't afford to quit because we owe a modicum of our success to all those people who came before us, who struggled hard, wasn't allowed to do this and go here, there, and hither because of the time, the racism, and the poverty level. Well, poverty is still here and racism is still here, but we don't have to endure what our grandparents, great-grandparents endure. And I know that I'm a great-grandfather, and I know that the generation now have no excuse. Now, why I say they don't have an excuse? I used to tell people, and they were mostly white, said, well, you're complaining about this Dan Galloway. You shouldn't. You can do anything you want to do. And I said, no, I can't. And they said, what you can't do right now? I said, I can't be the president of the United States. And the people said, and they started laughing. But a few years ago, when God sent us an Obama, and he became president, that erased everything that we can say as a black person, a proud black man, that we can't do. So there's nothing on this earth in these United States we can't do. We got great minds. We helped send people to the moon. We had people creating all kind of things out of peanuts. And potato chips, I mean, potato peels and everything. We had people figuring. There was a movement called Figures. It helped send the people to the moon. All of them came from Tuskegee. And some of them came from Virginia Tech. And all those great minds, it was all great black women. You need to see that movie, Figures. Viola Davis was in that. She won an Academy Award for that. I think that history will never repeat itself if we go and say, I need more learning the fundamentals of life, while you be able to protect yourself, number one, but most of all, you be able to compete against anyone. That's what I learned, and all of us who went to Roosevelt in the 50s, when it opened up in 1950-51, when it closed in 1970, under a man like Mr. Aaron Geronimo Shallow. That's what his name, A.G. Shallow. Aaron Geronimo Shallow, who was the husband of Dr. Shallow, who fought so hard, walked up and down the streets, preaching in the pulpit the laws of God, but most of all, what the citizens of Riviera in Palm Beach County should do. I think that we forget some of the fundamentals of things and what we learned in history when so many people lost their life for the freedom that we have right now. We've closed up behind doors, and I said that with senior citizens, and I want them to take caution and to be careful, because right now there are a lot of people going to be calling on the phone, trying to sell you some things and come and try to get your last money. Last week on TV, a senior citizen gave up $20,000 where her grandkids and everybody had given all this money for her for Christmas and for her to have a little nest egg because the cost of living is very high. And the people had the old scheme, the pigeon drop, we called it, and telling you, if you give me X amount of money and you put it in the bank, and then we're going to give you triple that in another week, and you give them cash money. You got to be careful with that. If you don't know what you're doing, don't be so gullible that you won't call somebody and ask them, how do we detect this and keep these people trying to take the advantage of the vulnerable of old citizens and old people? They're not going to do that to young people. I get those same phone calls, but I don't pay no attention to it. I hang it up because I know good and well a big-time operation and government stuff is not going to call you on the phone. They give you a certified letter. They'll have you to come in where you can see the people. All these people making a decision on the phone and doesn't know what the person looked like and who, and never heard of these people, don't fall for that. I'm saying this because this is senior citizen time. I told you on the 15th of this month, which is coming up Thursday at 12 o'clock at Wells Gymnasium, right off of Blue Heron and H Avenue on the south side of the street. We'll be there, and we'll go over a few tips for the senior citizens. We're going to be doing that. Now, why are we putting all the emphasis on seniors? Once again, everybody live when they're a boy. They want to get to be a man, a girl. They want to get to be a lady. And then when you get to be an adult, you want to be an old person. Everybody want to live to get old. Methuselah lived 969 years, but history says he lived 969 years. You don't want that by your epitaph. You want to be something that you lived and died is not what you want to do. You want to do something for your fellow man. Now, what are you going to do for the new year? It's time to start thinking. We get on this show and we say a lot of things, and then it goes on deaf ear. But we can't give up. You got to make a concerted effort. If you don't do nothing but say, on my block, where I live, I'm going out there and patrol it with my eyesight and my ears and keep vigilant to it and make sure if I see something, I say something. And don't be afraid. Living in fear is the worst thing in the world. You stop living in fear. You can't do that. See, when you get afraid, then you're denouncing our Almighty God. Because if he said he'll prepare a table for you and he'll guide you through the valley, the shadows of death, and he'll prepare a table for you, he'll give you the guidance to be successful. That's why you got to put prayer in the game. Don't let Madeline Murray O'Hara, years ago, went before Congress, and they threw out the prayer in the school. That was dumb. But one day it's going to come back. But even if you can't pray in school, like we had to recite a Bible verse every day, all the time I was in school. And that's why I relate back to that. And I would never get away from that, because I need the protection of Jesus Christ. And I'll go public and tell them that. I'll never be shut up about honoring God, honoring Jesus, and do his will. Because I know I wouldn't be here for 84, already 84, going on 85, and still clothes in my right mind. And that's all I need. And I will always share my experience with the least, the lost, and the left out. Because I was put on this earth to do that. And the young people, that's my job. To show them the way. I said at the beginning, the old man know the road, the young man go and carry the load. And that's where we are going. I think that we must do better because we know better. Now, my fierce leader, who will be the guest speaker, Ann McNeil, this Thursday at 12 o'clock at Wells Recreation for the senior citizens. But she's part of a group that is going to be putting together how to train people in different fields of their jobs, OJT, on-the-job training. We are working out with all the people, whether they're in construction, whether they're mechanics, whether they're in air condition, whether they're in plumbing, and we got all the boat builders down there on the water. Building the big boats, those wealthy boats, those yachts, and they're starting off people at $26 an hour. And I told you at the very beginning, we got a fence building company waiting for us to bring in so many guys and females if they want it and learn how to build fences. Everywhere you go, it's a fence. Everybody want a fence around their house? You put a fence around the schools. You got fences dividing this, that, and the other. So we got to have people who can do that. But most of all, they will start you off at $20 an hour. So therefore, if somebody listen can get this back to them, all they have to do is call Dan Calloway, 848-4991, or they can call Artie Williams, 201-93-58, and we will put them right in the hand and tell them how to get with this and then get the training. They will train you and start off with $20 an hour. I wish I can go to Fort Myers and get some of those people over there that not even making 20, $5,000 a year can start them off with $20 an hour. That means you'll make $800 a week. $800 a week. That's what you'll be making. So if anyone listening and anybody can get that, I want a list of people so I can tell them I got them. And then they'll tell other people we need to have some openings and hire some people. That's one thing we're going to put a lot of emphasis on. I've already talked to Deidre Jacobs at the City Riviera Beach. She's going to set up a meeting. She's acting as a city manager right now and tell the city manager to get back in the middle of January, where a lot of people come into HR trying to get a job in Riviera. Everybody want to work in Riviera because the retirement plan is great. Anytime you get 90% of your final three, that's great. But everybody can't work in Riviera because you don't have enough jobs. But getting a job and getting you a fair labor, you call us anytime, and we got a list of people. But we're going to make a concerted effort. Everybody with these Fortune 500 jobs, I want those people to open the doors up and hire a lot of local people. We got to take care of home before we go abroad, and that's what we're going to do. Now, Ann, are you on?
Absolutely, yes, sir. I'm right here.
Oh,
right
okay.
Here, Mr. Calloway.
You got it. What do you think about the things that we're going to be doing? Because you are one of those people that are doing a wonderful job. You're building all over the country. Everybody know about you. They had on the TV the other day, a lot of states are coming in to look at the building that you built on, Blue Heron in Congress at the old drugstore. It's a new fire department. It's a model of the whole country. See, that's why we are pleased with people who were born and reared here, or came here, went to school here, and now it put us on the map even more. And no one remembers, well, a lot of people remember, but nobody talk about it now. It been put there 20 years ago when you were the first that built that West Palm Beach police station. Every time I go down to the city hall and the police station, I think about when you were fighting and got that contract to do that. And now you don't have to fight anymore.
No, Ms. Calloway. Yes, sir. We will fight till we die. No. We're still fighting. We don't want to have anybody thinking that this is not a fight. Yes, sir. It's still a fight, Mr. Calloway. And even this last fire station, number 87, we just got, it was a fight for that. But we won't talk about that on the radio. But there's always a fight, Mr. Calloway, because there's going to always be somebody out there that has a difference of opinion when you want to do the right thing for the least, the loss, and as you said, the left out. And we're
beautiful.
Doing a lot for a lot of people. In addition, I also train and teach a course at the university level for what's called Mindset for Success in Construction Trades for individuals that didn't finish high school, never went to college, but they're coming into this industry of construction, exactly what you're talking about. You know, this trade is an honorable trade as a profession. But oftentimes we want to send our kids to college. We don't want them to work with their hands. Well, I cannot think of anything that's better than working with your hands and not getting in a lot of debt that oftentimes, you know, our young people get into because everybody's not going to go to college. And so for those who decide not to, you know, there's so many other options out here, and trade school is one of those options.
Well, that is really profound what you said, and please forgive me. When I met about you don't have to fight anymore, you were shut down at the beginning because you were black and a female. But you erased the black and female thing, but you're going to always have a problem because there's going to be some naysayers believe a black, and then you got a double whammy on you, being black, and then you got to be a female. But it's no more you can't do because you've already done it and other people have done it. That's what I meant. But one
correct.
Thing in
correct.
Riviera
correct.
And Palm.
Correct.
Go ahead.
No, I just said correct.
See, the one thing that I'm about, one of the things that you read in your introduction of Mrs. Shallow, you said that she brought her cousin, who was the first black that went into the major league of playing baseball, the Brooklyn Dodgers, and he signed in 46 by the Dodgers, by Branch Rickey, and he came up in 47, they won the World Series, not the World Series, but they won the pennant and played the New York Yankees, and they lost. And that's why people like me and most blacks started pulling for the Dodgers at an early age, and that's why me and a lot of other people went into baseball, because at that time you didn't have the profession of basketball players and the profession of golfers and the profession of football players, but you had Jackie Robinson, who went into the major league and opened the doors for so many people. But the thing what it is, you are the Jackie Robinson of Riviera Beach, because you were the first black woman to be given license to build a building in Palm Beach County. And that was that jail down in West Palm Beach. And you were the same black woman who built, the fire station, and you're building some other places. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mr. Calaway. You're right. Yes, sir. You're
See,
right.
See, I know being the first, it was a tough task, and you had to endure them and the naysayers and looking down. But you see, God bless you with the tenacity to never quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. So by you finishing the task years ago, now you're still fighting, but the door is, you kicked the door down. That's how you got in. Now you reach back. That's what Martin Luther King said. When I walk through a door, I reach back and grab somebody else's hand, and they grab somebody else's hand. We all got to go in and do the things we need to do to make sure it's much easier for the people coming behind, and that's what you've done. Now, how do you feel about, with the new task, and you got some other professional people, with the workforce that you are trying to train the people, how to be, whether it's air conditioning, whether it's plumbing, whether it's tile, carpeting, or putting the roof on, how do you feel about training a lot of young people? And when I say young people, 9th and 10th graders, for they make up their mind, whether they're going off to higher learning and to get a degree, or they're going into the workforce right away as a trade. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm very excited, Mr. Calaway, because I think that it is the pipeline for the future. I'm very excited to see that we have instituted a program and a strategy through the contract that we have with the city of Riviera Beach to strategize for the firefighters pipeline, the construction trade pipeline. And so we're actually doing that, and it's working out very well.
Okay. Well, now here we are. You one of the honorees, and we don't like to take a lot of that right now, but you one of the honorees, I'm quite sure, in February. The Youth Recreation, this will be its 55th year in February, Black History Month. And I'm quite sure you are part of one of the contributors. See, it's the first time we ever, and this is the first time I've gone public with it. I know about it because I didn't want to get through the Thanksgiving, which was big, feeding 8,000 people. Now we got Christmas. We had a Christmas toy day Saturday gone. Now we got the seniors and giving them their Christmas. But in February, Black History Month, we have always had a big banquet, and we are honoring a lot of contributors, and you have been a contributor. That's just all to that. Well, not only with your finance, but with your ability and knowledge. And the knowledge will last long in the finance, because if the Chinaman once said, if you give me a fish, I'll eat for a day. But if you teach me how to fish, I'll eat for a lifetime. That's what you were talking about, doing something that will last a lifetime by teaching them the fundamentals of your labor, of your business, which is building. And one thing about building something, it'll never go out of season, because we all got to be in a building. We are not
right.
we're not a group of people living out in tents and huts. Now, how you feel about all that?
No, you're absolutely right, and that's why I'm saying this industry is not going to go away, and it's going to always be a great demand for this workforce, but the challenge is that it's not a pipeline that is being filled. It's not being filled quick enough to supply the demand.
So you are saying because you got to be constant building something, and the trade people, the people in that trade, you need to keep replenishing it, because when people get old like me, they can't do it. So therefore, it's going to always be a door open for people into that business. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely, always, always, always. Because people come in, they grow, and then they go up. But the demand is so high. We have a young man that was in one of my classes, and he was hired by an electrical company, and he's already been promoted 3 times in less than 6 months.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
With no college.
Yeah. And in the same things, I would think that half of the people, at least, used to be only people went to college maybe been 10%, then got 25%. I would think right now it's still 60-40 because of the cost of, I remember sending people off to college and $10,000 would take care of them for the whole 4 years, $250, and right now it costs you like $120,000 for a 4-year college. Most all schools, a 4-year college, you're going to spend $30,000 for the 4 years at least. So that 4 times 30 is 120. So therefore, I know that 2 years ago, and you were one of the people who gave a $10,000 scholarship, people questioned me, so why would you be asking to give one person $10,000? I said, because the cost. The cost is much greater. $10,000 could have got a person to all 4 years years ago, way back in the late 50s and the 60s. But everything is cost more and everything like that. But I just want the people to know, not only you and your profession and trying to make a living, but you also open the door like Martin Luther King. You reach back and grab another people's hand. See, you just said the ones you were teaching, and they're being hired. See, that means your legacy will go on and on. It'll never die, because of their children will benefit from something that you did 40, 50 years before. So my final remark to the people, that is going to be a lot of things happening. You got to make a difference, because we're going to do, and the last thing, I need you to understand that the Youth Recreation have made a decision. Every month, we're going to give right now two. I would be glad if we could give more, but we know we're going to give two, because for the first 3 months we got it covered, and I'll be working on the other 9 months. What am I talking about? There are seniors right now, because of the cost of living, the gas price is coming down, but the grocery price is still there. And then a lot of people can't pay the rent, because all the people who are renting, the renters, they're charging more money because it's a shortage of housing. So, well, they didn't have a job. Now, what about all the maids, all the groundkeepers, the grass cutters, the caddies, the ones who went on a bus and picked beans and picked tomatoes and corn over in the glades? They didn't have anybody giving them a retirement. No retirement there. And they didn't take no money out of their thing and put it in there so they can get a bigger check out of Social Security. So now they're paying the cost. I've always had a job, whether it was the assistant recreation director for the city of Riviera, over the community relation unit for the sheriff department, holding the position of a sergeant. So I'm on retirement. I get a check every month. But most people don't do that. So now what we got to do is supplement, help those people out, and make sure that from this point on, when people own a job, they're going to have some kind of financial compensation once they say the limit to be able to retire. In the olden days, they won't have to worry about so much. So therefore, new position, not a new position, it's a new thing that we put into the youth recreation, started January. For the first 3 months, I know the individuals who, they got to be over 75 years of age, and some of them is in a wheelchair, some of them is amputee one, amputee two, but most of all, they got a disability, they need help, and they will get $1,000. And everybody I've told that, they thought that was the greatest thing we've ever done, and we're going to do that. And maybe next year we'll be able to do 24 to 36 people. Now, what do you think about that, Miss Ann?
I think that is excellent, excellent, because, again, there's such a great need, and we do need more help in fulfilling the need, but I think that's excellent.
Well, I think as our time is up, and I make my final remark, no time is more important to me. I'm only talking about me. This is my favorite time of the year because I never get enough of the Christmas counts. I never get enough of the things that I remember when I was a boy. My mother had five kids, four boys and a girl. Four boys, three boys was born ahead of me. I was a fourth boy, and my sister was born 2.5 years younger than me, and only the two of us are left. But the Christmas time when we had to go and cut Christmas trees down and get the holly and everything on there. But right now, this is my favorite time of the year. And then the following Saturdays, next Thursday, we're going to be feeding the seniors for Christmas. And 2 days later, the Saturday, we're going to be at Old Inlet Grove or Old Suncoast at 6 p.m. This is the second year we're going to have Old Holy Night, the Christmas carol and the musical. It was very successful last year, but this year it'll be headlined by Carrion Nelson and a lot of other gospel singers singing the carol song, getting in the mood. So this is Dan Calloway telling you I'll sit here and talk to you when you call and be here for next week. And it's a pleasure for me to be on here with you. It's one of the bright things of my life. God bless you.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Calloway, and thank you, Deja, for helping out in the studio, and thank you, everybody, for chiming in and listening in. You have been listening to hashtag I am Riviera Beach, hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Again, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Wealth Builder, and Mr. Calloway and I will see you all next week back here at hashtag I am Riviera Beach. Have a great day.
Yep.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.